Correct. You know, good evening. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all those online. You know, it's another beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to ask you, do you know what the first scripture is that I'm going to recite tonight? I know Daniel knows it. Yeah. Psalm 118, 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, and are we rejoicing? Are we rejoicing? And, you know, the reason that I always start with that is to remind us, you know, that the Lord is our creator. He blesses us every day, and we need to thank him. We need to rejoice. You know, when I say that, I smile. Gives you a smile to say, you know, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so that's always my first. It could always be my last of the sermon too. But it's if we can recognize every day the importance of our God and what he has given to us. Today's a special day. You know, it's Mother's Day. And, you know, we had a wonderful sermon this morning. And I was happy, though, that I'm a traditionalist. And so my sermon is on Mother's Day, but it's also for all of us. And so when Kevin this morning said, you know, my sermon is not Mother's Day, I thought you might have a duplicate sermon tonight. So, you know, this is a day we set aside to honor our mothers. You know, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the congregation, all those online. I'm going to start with Proverbs 31. And so Proverbs 31, and I'm going to start with verse 10. And it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth the girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." You know, we are blessed with such wonderful mothers in the church. You know, we have right, these mothers are blessed with righteousness, godly examples to us that live up to these words that I just read. You know, in verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. 26 says, she opened up her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And we can see that around us, the kindness and the love they pour out to us. And 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, our mothers have these attributes. You know, we are blessed to have such wonderful examples to follow. You know, I feel our mother's love for her child is the closest thing to God's love to us. You know, there's that natural instinct that a mother has for the love of her children. And, you know, being a father, being a snazpaw, a grandpa, I have a strong love for my children and my grandchildren. But a mother's love is that unique, special blessing of love that it was given by God. And, you know, our mothers have that obligation to teach us right from wrong. You know, they have that obligation and to be an example of God's goodness. They teach us to put our trust and faith in the Lord. I'm going to turn to Alma 26. Alma 26, and I'm going to start reading with 96, but I'm going to tell you a little synopsis of this scripture. And this is this scripture talks about Helaman and his 2,000 stripling soldiers. You know, it tells how these young men gained strength and faith from the teachings of their mothers. You know, their mothers had taught them to put on the whole armor of God and to doubt not and put their trust in the Lord. And I'm going to read here, and it's on page, did I tell you the page? Page 518, Alma 26.
What verse then?
96. So I'm going to read 96, and then I'm skip down to 101. And it says, yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them, and I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them. And then I'm dropping down to 101. It says, nevertheless, according to the goodness of God, and to our great astonishment, and also the joy of our whole army, there was not one soul of them which did perish. Yea, and neither was there one soul among them which had not received many wounds. And now their preservation was astonishing to the whole army. Yea, that they showed should be spared, while there was 1,000 of the brethren that were slain. These 2,000 young men had that faith and strength, and they were spared. They went to battle, they were spared. And their mothers had taught them to have that faith and that trust in the Lord. And 103 says, and we do justly ascribe it to the miraculous power of God. You know, God has that power. Because of their exceeding faith in that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God, and whosoever should not doubt that they should be preserved by his marvelous power. Now this was the faith of these of whom I have spoken. They are young, and their minds are firm, and they do put their trust in God continually. You know, a wonderful blessing, wonderful blessing. And, you know, you think of, you know, our mothers had told them, put their trust in God. And so we honor our mothers this day, you know, with that wisdom that God gives them to follow God, to follow his commandments. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, with our mothers having an obligation to teach us to follow God, you know, in our lives, to follow the commandments, we also have an obligation. and a commandment to follow. And it's in Deuteronomy 5:16, and it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You know, do we honor our mothers and fathers? You know, do we honor them? This is a day, but every day we should honor them. You know, that's a commandment in the scriptures. Do we follow this commandment that has been given to us through the scriptures? You know, in my life, I feel I had the best mom. You know, and I know each one of us here personally feel the same way towards their mother. You know, but I can tell you my thoughts with my mom, and I had the best mom. And, you know, my wife's a good example to our kids, my daughters now with their children. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about my mom tonight. You know, I was the baby of the family. I mean, I just have an older sister, but and I was a mama's boy. You know, I have a good dad, too. But I was the mama's boy. She had a love for me that was immeasurable. She was proud of all my accomplishments. She would, you know, I was a timid child. I was a, God gave me a voice that can sing, and but my mom pushed me to sing in church. She pushed me to serve God. And, you know, I would, before I get up here and sing, I'd be home and I'd say, "Oh, Mom, you made me do this," and I'd lay on the floor sick, just because it made me so nervous, you know. But so she, it was a blessing that she did push me to serve the Lord and to share my talents. And you know, my mom had the biggest focus was to raise me to know right from wrong and to follow God's commandments. And she showed me this by the example that she lived. You know, she lived life looking for the good in all people, showed love to all. She was a good cook, which for a boy, a growing boy, that was a big plus. And I remember when I would get home from school, you know, she would always have a dessert made for me. She would have a pie, a cake, cobbler, and they were always delicious. She would like me to sit down and eat and tell her about my day. Tell her she had that genuine interest in me. And she loved the gospel, wanted us to live for the Lord. You know, so here she was. Tony laughs that I was a big eater when I was a kid, and I can be a big eater now too. But I would leave high school. I usually had an activity after high school, whether it was music, whether it was sports. And then I'd run by High Boy, which we all know High Boy, and I would get a cheeseburger. And then I would come home, and my mom would have the dessert for me. I'd eat dessert. And then she would have dinner, and I would eat two or three plates of food. And so she kept me fed. And then my dad, at bedtime, we would eat a big bowl of ice cream. And then we'd look at each other after we ate that bowl and say, "You want another?" And we'd eat, and back then it was a big bowl. You know, we had, and so Tony laughed saying, "I can't believe that, how much you ate. I thought I ate a lot." You know, but I'll get back on track here. But I was blessed with a loving mother, loving father. You know, my mom was overjoyed when I was called to the ministry, you know, because she wanted me to serve the Lord, you know, and she had these in her mind when I was a kid. She thought that I would be in the ministry someday, but that overjoyed her because she wanted me to serve the Lord. You know, she was an example even through her final day. You know, her final day of life, you know, as she was there, it was the last day, they had just put her on hospice. I thought, how is somebody going to know? I was the one that told her. And I thought, how is somebody going to take this? You know, you're going to go on hospice, you know. And so I said to her, you know, it could be a couple weeks. It could be a long time. And she said, oh, no. She was ready to go. She was ready to go. And on that, and she that day she said, I want you to preach my funeral. And I said, what verse or verses would you like? And she said, you know, the verse in Alma 19 where they talk about paradise. You know, she didn't fear death because she knew she was going to go to a better place. You know, here she was ready to go and meet our Lord. And so that was an example to me, even to that day, to not fear. Not fear. Live your life to the fullest, to the best. Not the fullest, but the fullest with God. And because we know there is a better place after here of eternal life. So Alma 19, 43 and 44 says, behold, it hath been made known unto me by the angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to the God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all their care and sorrow. You know, even her last day, her focus, her passion was to be with the Lord. You know, so I have a question. What is our focus and passion? You know, and you can think of that this week. What is our focus and passion? Is our focus on doing what's right? Is it on loving all people? What is our focus? And our focus needs to be on our God. Mosiah 3:21, and it's just one verse I'm going to read here. It's the last verse in Mosiah 3. And it says, therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that ye may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life. You know, we have that hope. Through the wisdom and the power and the justice and the mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. You know, are we abounding in good works? You know, is that in our mind to do what's right? Do we live with the love of God and show that love to all that we talk to, all that we come in contact with? Do we love everybody? You know, so I have, I'm going to turn to Romans 12. And I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to the every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and are all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let us do it with simplicity. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He that ruleth with diligence. I missed that one in there. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, the last verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And it said in there, don't be to your own conceit. You know, don't think of yourself more than others. You know, think and love others. Put your thoughts out there. Our brother Jeff preached a few weeks ago and said, reach out to people. You know, reach out and show that love one to another, whether it's a card, a phone call. Reach out. Show that love to others. So another question, do we make an effort to live peaceably with all men? You know, if we ask God to be by our side every day, he will make it easy to walk in love and compassion in dealing with others in our lives. You know, that's the key. Our Lord is the key. And, you know, when we wake up in the morning, pray to God to be with us, to guide us and direct us in our lives. I'm going to turn to page 28 in the Book of Mormon. It's 1 Nephi 3. Okay, I'm on page 28, and I'm the 64th verse. I'm going to read 64 through 69, and it says, and I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. You know, we can have joy. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look, and I looked. And I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of the living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. You know, the rod of iron, the scriptures, you know, the word of God, we must cling to it, you know, so that we can grow. You know, we need to have the love of God in our hearts. I'm going to turn to page 219 now, which is Mosiah 2. So Mosiah 2 on page 219, I'm going to read the first five verses. It says, and now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end to speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, oh, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy. You know, that joy. I know I'm sure we've all felt that joy that only comes from our God and living that Christ-like life and following him. You know, there's joy in our journey with the Lord. I'm going to flip a page here. And one of my favorite verses, I'm going to keep going on 13, and it says, believe in God, believe that he is, and he created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them. Humble yourselves before God. Ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God. And in your own nothingness and his goodness and long suffering towards you, unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves. We must be humble people. Humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice. Be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge and the glory of him who created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You know, how do we grow in the knowledge of God? You know, at work, one of our vice presidents, he'll send out a quote for the day. This week he sent out a quote and it said, let's see if I can find it. What you choose to focus on will grow. So I have something here. Of course I have a African violet. And it's pretty, it's blooming. I bring this here too because it's something I learned how to take care of an African violet from my mom. She learned how to take care of an African violet from her mom, from my grandma. And people that grow African violets probably know that you water them from the bottom. Because if you water them at the top, then their leaves will turn and die or turn colors and not look good. And so that's one thing. And then you have to give it light. You have to give it light. And you just have to remember, you don't water it too much. There's just certain things. It's pretty easy as long as you do it. You don't neglect it, you know. And so, but if we neglect it, what will happen? And I have, this was probably before I knew from my mom, but this is kind of how, if you neglect something, it won't flourish. It won't grow. So it's the same way in our lives. You know, if we, you know, in our spiritual lives, you know, let's focus on our spiritual lives so that we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. You know, do those things. And it can be, it's not that hard. You know, it's we just need to prioritize. We need to focus and make him our priority. You know, we need to have that focus, have a passion to study the scriptures and to come to the services with a desire to be fed by the word of God. We have services that are here for us that we can grow from the knowledge of given by our God. I have... Thank you to Dan and Manon. You know I like to sing, and I'm not going to sing for us, but I had a song in my head. And last week I texted Manon and said, okay, the words to this song are this. It was in a cantata we sang. I would like to say these words, read these words, and she graciously, and Dan went in the basement and got me the book and brought it to prayer meeting, and I have this. And I want to read the words to it, and it says, "What is your passion?" And it's a beautiful song, but it says, "What is your passion? What is your call? Who do you live for? Who do you offer all? How you will answer is the answer to life on this earth and beyond." It says, "What is your passion? What is your passion? What is the reason we live our days? Spending our lives in this time and place. How we answer will surely answer who we shall be. Who shall we be? While Jesus is calling, he's calling, come follow me." It says, "Leave your nets, for I am calling, calling down a road you cannot see. Come follow me, and start the journey of a lifetime." It says, "What a journey it will surely be. Come follow me." It says, "So let your life, let us live with passion. Live the call, rise up and follow. Follow the Lord of all. Come on a journey that will lead us to life on this earth and beyond. Jesus is calling. Come and follow me. Jesus is calling. Come and follow me." You know, he's there for us. He is calling. And we just need to take that initiative to pray to him, to study the scriptures, to follow his commandments, to do those things that are right. I like to bring different examples. I'm going to ask our brother Dylan to bring me up a bag here. We have good youth in the church that are eager to help.
Thank you.
And I did, and let me see. And he did what I asked. That's great. I have a bag, and I went to Whataburger before I came. And I know that, I think Daniel has a, does Daniel have a hoodie? Something that's a, Daniel is a Whataburger fan. And it's a big, I sat in the drive-thru and took me forever to get through there just to order my food. But, you know, when I haven't looked at it here, but I have some French fries. I have some ketchup. I had asked them for spicy ketchup, and they were out of it. That is Patrick Mahomes' favorite, so that's probably why. And I have a cheeseburger. So I have this cheeseburger, I have this food, and as I talked to you earlier, I'm a big eater. I love to eat. I'm a fast eater. You know, there's this juicy cheeseburger here. And this is a pretty big burger, but I figure probably Daniel and me in about 8 to 10 bites, this could be gone. Maybe not Daniel. The fries, within 5 minutes or less, it could be gone. You know, and this burger is good. But has anybody ever been on a diet, you know, for their health or for just wanting to lose weight, whatever you want to do? And when you're on a diet, doesn't everything you enjoy every bite you put in your mouth? And so One thing I would probably do on a diet or watching my carbs, I might eat just a couple fries and then share it, show that love to my friend and give them the fries. And then the burger, my granddaughter Blakely, she eats her food this way anyway. I only do it if I'm on a diet and savoring, but she will take the top bun and she will eat that whole bun. And I, you can, if you deconstruct this sandwich, it tastes so much better. You know, you'll taste this buttery bread. It takes you a while to eat it. Then there's tomatoes on here, which are healthy for you, but I'm touching all this, so I can't give it back to Dylan to eat. Then the pickles, then the burger, and eat every bite. Savor it, savor every bite. Then the cheese, then the other bun. And, you know, silly example here. But I like to throw things out when you can say later, say, what did David mean when he brought that cheeseburger from Whataburger up here? But in our lives, if we put this to our spiritual life, you know, I want us to do the diet approach. Diet approach where we savor, that we dig in, that we savor every moment. That can, to seek our God, to do those things that are right. We're busy people. Busy people normally don't have time to savor every bite. You know, we chow this down and we're on with the next thing. And in our spiritual lives, you know, if that's all the time we have, if we just have the time to eat like we would normally eat, if we say a prayer, quick prayer, read a quick scripture, if that's all the time we have, that's okay. That's okay. Just take that time. But make that time. Focus on our God. And, and we will gain so much more if we will savor every moment, if we will read the scriptures and really think and really question and really talk with our brothers and sisters about those scriptures. You know, and it will build a closer relationship with God. You know, if we seek him in prayer, if we seek him in through our scriptures, through prayer, and then read the scriptures, and he will tell us those things we need to know that we can retain. Let us pray to God for the wisdom and guidance. You know, I'm going to turn, it's my prayer scripture, and it's on page 429, Alma 16. And he wants us to seek him always. So page 429. And I'm going to start with 2:18, and it says, therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you, yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves, continue in prayer unto him, cry unto him when you are in your fields, over all your flocks, cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. You know, if we have God, if we're seeking God, then there's a better chance the devil isn't there. I mean, he's there, but God will lead us through all our trials, struggles. Cry unto him over your crops of your field that you may prosper in them. Cry over the crops of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. You know, 1 John 3:17-18 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, he dwelleth in the love of God. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. You know, have you heard, you know, I'm not going to be able to say this. You know, we can speak good. We can speak like we're going to do something good, but do we do it? Do we follow through? Do we show it in our deeds? And do we do it in the truth of our God? You know, let's turn to Colossians 3. So Colossians 3, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, if ye be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, don't put idols in front of our God. God must be our focus. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of men, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now put ye also off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also you are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, do we sing unto the Lord? Are we focusing on him? It is important that we seek our God, ask him for that guidance in our lives. You know, Jesus spoke in Matthew 5:16, and he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamors and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And Moroni 7:11 says, but behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. I think my last one right here is Moroni 52 and 53 says, and this is on charity, it says, wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ and endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it in the last day, it shall be well with thee, with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart. Pray unto God that ye may be filled with this love which hath been bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. That ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. You know, if we truly have the love of God in our hearts, focus on him, we will be able to show love for all people. We must work at possessing love and compassion in our day-to-day lives. John 15, I'm going to turn to John 15, verse 7. So John 15, verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And, you know, so if we follow these instructions that were given by our Lord, you know, he will guide us. He will guide us. You know, life can be easy if we will just seek him. Seek him. We all know the things we should do, but do we actually do those things? You know, I'll tell you a little story about, I've been doing real estate on the side, and so with that extra money, we've been doing changes in our house that needed to be done a long time ago, we were getting new flooring, and they ripped all our carpet out of our house, and then they realized they had a problem. And so we walked around for at least 3 weeks with carpet staples and splinters on the subfloor that was everywhere. And as a type 2 diabetic, I know that I should wear house shoes. I should wear shoes. But because I don't like to do that, and I'm used to just going barefoot, I went around the house barefoot. I got a few staples in my foot. You know, Becky would look at me and say, you know what you should have been doing. I'm like, I know. But, you know, so in our lives, same thing. You know, I knew what I should do, but did I do it? No. And so then I bore those consequences there. Then we were getting new countertops, and the company that was putting the new countertops in, we ripped the tile out behind our countertops so they could put them in, and they didn't show up, and then we find out they went out of business. So, and just little struggles, as I know Dan and Diane have had many struggles along with their house, and Becky and Brian did too. But in life, if we, you know, we're going to have struggles. We're going to have struggles in life, and we're going to have ups and downs. You know, sometimes good days, sometimes struggles. But if we ask the Lord to be with us every day, guide us in our lives, he will make it easier. You know, is he going to make it perfect? Are we going to be without struggles? No. But if we ask him to be with us, he will get us through those day-to-day challenges, and he will bless us. He will bless us. The key is our God. You know, I'm going to get back to Mother's Day here. You know, I guess I stayed on Mother's Day because it was on love, and that love that we need to have for others, that love that a mother has for her child, and God's love to us. So here I have a poem. It's by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's titled A Mother's Love. And it says, a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining, it defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. Man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. He's blessed us with our mothers to have this love, to have that correction, not that we want to be corrected, but that correction that needs to be done. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 are just the first two commandments. And it's Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the laws and the prophets. You know, I talked about our focus, our passion. You know, what is our focus and passion? I want to challenge us to place our focus on the Lord and have a passion to walk with love, the love of God in our hearts, so all can see the love of God through everything we do. You know, if we seek God, ask him, he'll help us. He'll help us. And we must show that love in our actions. I was driving down the road, and this week, you know, there's always something that's going to, things that can happen. And I was driving down 470, and a big fancy truck came up, and he almost hit my front, you know, as he was like zooming through. He came through there, and then I see him up there, and his hands were like, and I was like thinking, I didn't do anything. So here I was, you know, your emotions, you know, everybody's human. Unfortunately, we do things that we shouldn't do. And since his hands were doing this, I'm behind him and I'm going, you know, and then I'm in the other lane and I get up next to him and he says, and I don't know if he had a change of heart, if his hands were doing that because he was mad, but he looks over at me and he's like, I'm sorry. So I think here I was thinking he thought I was doing something wrong. You know, we perceive things. I know, like when I get an email, you might get an email from somebody and you'll read it a certain way and it might make you irritated thinking they mean it a certain way. And you want to respond and say, well, that wasn't nice, blah, 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 blah. But then you read it again and say, boy, I'm glad I didn't respond that way because I think they meant it this way, you know? And so it's so easy in our lives to just, to think a certain way, think somebody's thinking something bad of you when I didn't do any. I do feel bad though, because I was like, his hands were going and I was doing this, and I think, oh boy, I was just mimicking him and thinking, and I was mad because I thought he almost knocked me off the road. And so, you know, but you know, God will, I say a prayer every morning and God bless me that I didn't get an accident there. And so just keep God in your thoughts. Ask him to be with you in everything you do. Show that love of God in our actions and deeds. And I'm going to end with Psalm 118:24, which says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So let's rejoice in the Lord. And I praise you, and I praise our God, and I thank you for listening tonight. And I hope that I brought something that God has wanted me to convey. So have a good week and live in love. Thank you.